Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm sorry about my voice. I went to a Cal State Fullerton baseball game. They played a crazy Game 3 against the University of Washington and unfortunately did not advance to Omaha, but I screamed my lungs out. I honestly haven't been a fan, just like a straight fan of a team in a really long time. I like a casual fan. One thing that you'll learn if you ever talk to other people in this industry, bloggers, podcasters, whatever, is that it's really hard for us to just be fans. We start thinking about team building and organizational building, and that kind of takes away from some of just enjoying a game or just enjoying a team. And it was kind of nice tonight where we go to this, or last night, we went to this Cal State Fullerton game. I didn't know any of the players' names. I haven't been at Cal State Fullerton for years now. And it was just fun to root on that team. And unfortunately, they came up short, but it was still a really good time, and it cost me my voice. So without further ado, let's get to what we're actually going to talk about, right? We're going to talk about Kyrie Irving. We're going to talk about Chris Paul, DeMarcus Cousins, Bingo, Shaquille O'Neal's son, all that good stuff. It's a Monday mailbag show. Thank you very much to those of you who sent in questions. I thoroughly enjoyed the questions, as per usual with you guys. Again, they keep the lights on, and they help me create content for you guys. So that's one thing I need to say is again, thank you guys for sending in those questions. I also need to tell you where you can find the show. You can find it everywhere you find podcasts, Megaphone/Panoply, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Today's Fast Break, Spotify, Alexa, Silver Screen and Roll, Lakers Outsiders. You can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin LA. You can follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Lakers. Let's dive right in, though. And the first question I'm going to start with is regarding a scenario here that is a little what-if. A little what iffy, and it's regarding Kyrie Irving. It's regarding LeBron. It's regarding all these. Look, I'll just get to it. From Q Breezy 12, should the Lakers have attempted to trade for Kyrie last offseason, and what would a trade like that look like? To actually answer the question, no. There is no way that they could have attempted to beat the offer that Boston gave up for Kyrie. At that time, Cleveland was getting a player who, yes, had some injury concerns and some potential chemistry concerns and team fitting concerns in Cleveland, but Isaiah Thomas was objectively better at the time of the trade than anybody else the Lakers could have offered, just in terms of sheer basketball talent. In terms of asset that the Lakers could have realistically offered. I mean, unless you would have wanted to offer Brandon Ingram for Kyrie Irving, unless you wanted to, you were okay with offering Lonzo Ball for Kyrie Irving, the Lakers just didn't have the kind of asset that Boston did with that, I believe it was a Brooklyn pick. Yeah, I think it was a Brooklyn pick that went over there to Cleveland. And I think I believe it turned into the 8th overall pick now. The Lakers just didn't have that kind of asset in either case, right? So to answer the question, they could have attempted, but they wouldn't have gotten anywhere given what Cleveland got for Kyrie Irving. In terms of, I wanted to extend this though to, do I think the Lakers should maybe get in on this Kyrie Irving situation now that Boston has seen that Terry Rozier, I don't think he'll ever be as good as Kyrie Irving, but he'll always be cheaper. And now that they have to pay Marcus Smart, do they opt for keeping both of those guys? Do they try to keep all three of them? Is their owner willing to pay up like that? They usually are not. So do the Lakers get involved in any kind of Kyrie Irving trade scenario? And look, Danny Ainge is always going to overcharge the Lakers because he was a Celtic. He has connections throughout the league that would enable him to probably get more than the Lakers would be comfortable offering. In terms of what I would be comfortable offering for Kyrie Irving, I think I could be talked into a Lonzo for Kyrie trade. I might be able to try to be talked into a Brandon Ingram for Kyrie trade. And then from there on out, I think just about anybody on the Lakers roster should be on the table in any kind of Kyrie trade negotiation. And I was kind of thinking about this as well in terms of how Kyrie would fit with the Lakers as they're currently constituted. I kind of like the Kyrie fit with Lonzo Ball. Ball can kind of make up for what Kyrie lacks defensively. Kyrie can help create his shot and move Lonzo a little bit more off ball, so he can gain his footing in that respect. I just don't see a scenario here, though, where the Lakers are comfortable giving up enough for Kyrie, and that's before you get to the LeBron James-Kyrie dynamic. If you trade for Kyrie, you're basically saying that you aren't getting LeBron, or you know, LeBron has already signed elsewhere. So if the price is right and LeBron has signed elsewhere, sure, you always want to look into any kind of way that you can improve the roster in any way, shape, or form. I just don't see a realistic scenario between these two organizations making a trade work that everybody involved would be okay with. We're going to take a quick second here, and when we come back, we're going to get to another point guard who the Lakers could potentially go after this offseason, and in this case, maybe help land LeBron James. So the question here is regarding Chris Paul. And this is from Initium 73. Is there a possibility for the Lakers to sign LeBron, Paul George, and Chris Paul? I believe the young core plus these additions would place LA at the top of the NBA's elite. One, to answer the second question, yes, it would. They would leapfrog Houston because Houston would lose Chris Paul. By that same thinking, if Trevor Ariza becomes available and the Lakers sign a couple stars and he wants to play on a winner and come back to LA and be involved, one thing that the Lakers would have going for them in that kind of conversation is they could say, hey, you've been a Laker before when the city is set on fire by the quality of basketball, the caliber of basketball that you guys played back then. So maybe they go back and they try to convince Trevor Ariza to again come back and be a 3-and-D wing alongside LeBron and Paul George and whomever. And that, like, if it's just Trevor Ariza, I think the Lakers, with the right combination of stars, could potentially leapfrog Houston. If it's Chris Paul, the Houston kind of sort of falls apart. I think they'd still be in the top four of the West next season, but I don't see them having a much higher ceiling than that. And regarding Chris Paul, like, here's my concern with Chris Paul. One, injury, right? Like, he just can't seem to stay healthy, and it was devastating, honestly, to watch him come up lame and not be able to participate in a Game 7 that could have launched him into the finals, and I think Houston pretty easily beats Cleveland in that finals matchup. So Chris Paul's hamstring pull maybe cost him a ring. That's pretty tough to watch, but it just seems to happen with him a lot, that he gets dinged up, and he seems to get dinged up in the worst possible situations. The other thing too with Chris Paul is he's not the kind of point guard who's really going to help you beat the Golden State Warriors. You need a longer point guard who can switch onto and switch around all over the court. And Chris Paul's tenacity and skill on defense allows him to be able to do that a little bit. Though, you know, as you kind of saw as that season went along, they picked on him with Kevin Durant in the mid post and the low post and all over the place. So that kind of concerns me a little bit. And you're also looking at in an age situation here. Like, the nice thing about LeBron coming over with just Paul George to play with the kids is you kind of have your cake and you get to eat it too. Now, I think LeBron probably comes over and demands or kind of nudges the Lakers front office to move one or two of the kids to get him a little bit more immediate help. But there's still a scenario here where you're fairly young and you can also compete for titles with LeBron James around. And that's kind of it opens up your window, and that's really what you're trying to do. That's what all organizations are trying to do, is they're either trying to open up a window, they're trying to keep it open for as long as they can, or close the window on some of their competition. And you know, if the Lakers do sign LeBron and Paul George, you immediately open up a championship window. And there's something to be said about trying to take advantage as best you can during that championship window. And so if the Lakers did opt for moving most, if not all, the kids for another superstar, the type of role player who helps put the Lakers over the top, then I kind of understand that, because you have to do that with LeBron on your roster. So, you know, maybe Chris Paul is the name that makes sense here. Maybe they don't re-sign Randall and they move another one of the kids to get rid of Deng's salary, and that enables them to maybe sign Chris Paul. If they have to move one of the kids to move Deng and maybe have a chance at signing Paul, George, and James, and also have a shot at Randall, then I think you all obviously have to look at whatever you can possibly do there. The other concern here, the last concern here with Chris Paul, is he seems pretty adamant, as James is pretty adamant, about wanting to be paid in full. They aren't going to take a pay cut to help these owners, these billionaire owners, continue to make more money off of them. The point of an owner is to put up capital for the organization. And if owners are going to try to hope that players make their jobs easier on them, well, then what purpose are you serving in that scenario? I'm going to take one more second here, and when we come back, we're going to talk about a third free agent possibility here, and it's a bit of the same conversation that we just had regarding Chris Paul, and this is regarding DeMarcus Cousins. And then on the other side of that conversation, we have a couple fun ones here. Somebody asked about Lakers bingo during whenever Rob Pelinka is talking, and about Shaq's son, Sharif O'Neal, who is about to play at UCLA. So hang in there for a second. When we come back, we'll get to all of that stuff and send you along on hopefully what we all hope is a productive-ish Monday. And hopefully it's an enjoyable Monday. So let's start with the question regarding DeMarcus Cousins. It's a three-part question. So the first part is, and this is from Huli_O, A, would the Lakers Cavs pick plus their 2019 first round pick be enough to shed Deng's contract, and who might bite on that offer realistically? B, if we find someone to take this, would we have enough cap space to sign LeBron, Paul George, and DeMarcus Cousins, assuming we waive Randall or let him walk? And then C, lastly, what would be a better fit for us? Scenario A plus B with Cousins or re-signing Randall? Let's start with A. Two first round picks should be enough to move Luol Deng's contract, which by the time the Lakers are moving it is 1 year away from becoming an asset. So honestly, if I'm the Lakers, I hold out hope that it only takes one pick and maybe like a Zubats to get rid of Luol Deng's contract. Two picks beyond that, like you honestly just pick your team across the NBA, and given the value of first round picks, any team is going to be willing to take up Luol Deng's contract. A scenario that I kind of thought of while I was doing some research for the show was, well, what if the Lakers move Luol Deng's contract and their number 25 pick, and they send it over to Dallas to be able to trade for Wesley Matthews, or just take on no salary, depending on how Dallas's offseason goes. But if they can do that kind of thing, or if they don't want to take Wesley Matthews' contract back, maybe then you offer up a second first rounder to get rid of Luol Deng's contract. But the reason Wesley Matthews is interesting to me is, one, he's okay. He had a down year last year, and he's post Achilles injury, so you never quite know how that's going to go. So maybe there's some on-court use for Wesley Matthews. He's also been lauded every single place he's ever played. I don't think I've ever heard any complaints about him in the locker room, his work ethic, anything like that. So maybe there's some on-court and locker room use for Wesley Matthews there. But more importantly, his deal is 1 year shorter than Luol Deng's. And so maybe the Lakers send Deng over, they get back Wesley Matthews, they probably have to attach a first-round pick and maybe like a Zubats, but they bring in Wesley Matthews, and they talk about a potential buyout, and they save maybe, if Matthews takes enough of a haircut, maybe he wants, he's about to make 17, maybe you talk him into buying, getting bought out for 12 or 13, well, that's $5 extra million that the Lakers weren't going to have this year. And that's not even to mention that's before we even get to the value that they would have next year, where they don't have Deng's $17 million contract in case, let's say they sign two superstars this year or one superstar this year. Well, then they go into next season with a superstar in tow and the salary cap to land another superstar or another, you know, if it's Kawhi or Clay or whomever you take your pick of next season, and then you continue to be able to build a team that way. So that's one scenario here where I'd be interested to see how that all turns out. To get to questions B and C, I'm kind of out on DeMarcus Cousins. I'm not really if the price gets so low that you would be asinine not to take the risk, then sure. But there's enough desire, whether it be in New Orleans or in Dallas or elsewhere in the NBA, where DeMarcus Cousins, even coming off of a torn Achilles, is probably going to get paid more than I would be willing to pay him this upcoming offseason. And there's also a question, look, people in Sacramento and my friends of mine who have covered and paid close attention to the Kings will probably yell at me for saying this, but there's too much going on around DeMarcus Cousins. There's too much smoke to ignore the potential fire that might be the way he gets along with teammates or coaches or fans or whatever. And so there's that aspect. So you're talking about physical risk. You're talking about chemical risk, chemistry risk across the roster. I'm not really in on DeMarcus Cousins. And that's before you even talk about, you know, potentially having to give up Julius Randle to land DeMarcus Cousins. DeMarcus Cousins, Boogie is one of the most talented big men, let alone, or even players that I have ever seen. And, you know, maybe his talent, maybe he figures out, you know, what it takes to win, and his and what he brings on the court gets matched by what he offers off of it, and he figures everything out and he proves me wrong, and all of those things, and I'd be fine with that. Anytime I dislike a player, I do so with the caveat of I want to be proven wrong. I also don't think, especially now post Achilles tear, that DeMarcus Cousins is really, he really helps you win basketball games in the NBA in 2018. He's a big guy. I'm not sure how he'll be able to move his feet to be able to keep up with pick and rolls. I don't know how he'll be able to move his feet to be able to be an effective role pick and roll player and either distribute or score for himself in those situations. I think next season, this might be one of my hotter takes, I think next season Julius Randle is probably going to be more valuable in the NBA than DeMarcus Cousins. Hell, I almost feel that way about Kevin Love. I'm one of the highest people on Randle because of everything he offers both offensively and defensively. And I think that the type of player that Randle might potentially be is as valuable as any other commodity across the NBA. And so unfortunately here, and as the conversation turns to DeMarcus Cousins, I think Randle is a sure bet because he'll be cheaper, because the Lakers have control over him. He's healthy. All of those things. I would much rather invest money as if I had the opportunity, if he was like a stock I could buy, I would rather buy Julius Randle stock than DeMarcus Cousins stock. Sorry, everybody. Let's get to it. Let's have a little bit of fun. Let's send everybody on their way on this Monday afternoon or morning, whenever you might be listening to this. We'll start with Shaq's son, Sharif O'Neal. The question is basically, will we ever see him play for the Lakers? I guess technically the Lakers have their draft pick next season, unless they move it for Luol Deng's, you know, to get rid of Luol Deng's contract. So it's a possibility. Everything that I've seen from Sharif O'Neal tells me he's extremely talented. If he inherited any of his dad's athleticism, or honestly, the other thing that I think he could really stand to benefit from in regards to lineage here with Shaq is Shaq was the rudest player I have ever seen in the NBA. He made it known at all times that whoever was guarding him could not do so, and he did so with overpowering them physically. If a double was coming, he took pleasure out of being able to make that swing pass out of the post to an open shooter. He wanted to not just beat you, he wanted to beat you into oblivion. And if Sharif O'Neal has that kind of attitude combined with any kind of talent that he might have inherited from Shaq physically, then you're talking about a potentially very special player. So maybe I'd be down to see Sharif O'Neal play with the Lakers. Last question here. This is a fun one. And that last question came from Nick Batchelor. And this last question here comes from David Balderson. If making a Lakers offseason bingo board, what is the free space? Pelinka referencing a biblical story or a new player having some trait compared to Kobe? I'll combine those. I think your free space and bingo, and maybe at some point we should make an actual bingo card for, you know, say the offseason or a Pelinka conference. That would be actually pretty fun. And if you guys are interested in giving me ideas for bingo cards, leave them here in the iTunes reviews and we can kind of laugh about them next time we all talk in one of these mailbag shows. But I think the center spot on a bingo card is Pelinka mentioning Kobe. Like, it's going to happen every time he talks. It's going to happen every single press conference, every single Q&A that he has. He's going to bring up Kobe. And so that's your free space that you can put that anywhere that you want. And maybe we can put together one of these bingo cards. This would be a lot of fun. This would be a fun Locked On Lakers game. Maybe I'll spend some time if I get a chance over the next couple of days to put one together. But Pelinka talking about Kobe is probably the safest bet across all of sports at this point. So listen for that. Thank you everybody for listening and enduring my deep, I guess, dulcet tones at this point. And shouts to CSUF for a really fun night, Sunday night. We will get back to talking about, we are smack dab. We are on the precipice of diving headfirst into rumor season. So there's going to be a ton to talk about. There's going to be people to talk to it. I'm going to start bringing more guests on. I didn't want to bring guests on like during the actual NBA playoffs because I didn't want to waste, for lack of a better term, a good guest on a day where there isn't just very much to talk about. So I'll start bringing more guests on. If there's anybody who you would like me to talk to, maybe at me on Twitter or at Locked On Lakers or something like that, and I'll see what I can do there. As always, you know where to find the show. Everywhere you find podcasts, you can follow me on Twitter at Anthony Irwin, Anthony Irwin LA. You can follow the show at Locked On Lakers. Hopefully starting soon, and this is the, I guess, pseudo big announcement, but starting hopefully fairly soon, my buddy and former colleague when I was over there at Lakers Outsiders, and actually we were colleagues way before all of this when we were both at Fansided shortly, Jacob Rude is going to be posting articles and the podcast to LockedOnLakers.com. So make sure you bookmark that site and see all the good stuff that goes up there. I'll let everybody know as we get closer to that date when that actually starts happening. It's pretty exciting stuff. FanRag Sports has been incredible with their support of the Locked On Network. So, enjoy the rest of your day. I will we'll enjoy this off season together. I have an article that I'm hopefully going to write in the next couple days about what's at stake for the Lakers and the nature of this very off season. So when that gets written, that'll be one of the things that we talk about before everything really gets kicked into high gear with NBA free agency and after the NBA draft. Enjoy the rest of your day. I'll talk to you soon. Be safe.